Rami festival, we have been told to speak something specifically glorifying Lord Krishna, and that's why we have chosen this shloka. So chapter number 14 of 10th canto is Lord Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna. So kindly repeat after me. Tad bhuri bhagyam iha janma kimapi atavyam. Yad gokule pikatamangri rajo bhishekam. Yad jivitam tu nikhilam bhagavan mukundas. Tvadyapi yat padaraja shuti mrugyameva. Tad bhuri bhagyam iha janma kimapi atavyam. Yad gokule pikatamangri rajo bhishekam. Yad jivitam tu nikhilam bhagavan mukundas. Tvadyapi yat padaraja shruti mrugyameva. Tad bhuri bhagyam iha janma kimapi atavyam. Yad gokule pikatamangri rajo bhishekam. Yad jivitam tu nikhilam bhagavan mukundas. Tvadyapi yad padaraja shruti mrugyameva. Rajobhishekam. Bhagyam iha janma kimapi atavyam. Yad gokule pikatamangri rajo bhishekam. Yad jivitam tu nikhilam bhagavan mukundas. Yapi yat padaraja shruti mrugyameva. Matajis, we'll go through word-to-word translation purport by the humble disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Kindly repeat after me. Tat, that. Bhuri Bhagyam, the greatest good fortune. Iha, here. Janma, the birth. Kimapi, any whatsoever. Atavyam, in the forest. Of Vrindavan, in the forest of Vrindavan. Yat, which, Gokule, in Gokul. Api, even. Katama, of any of the devotees. Angri, of the feet. Rajah, by the dust. Abhishekam, bathing. Yat, whose. Jivitam, life. Tu, indeed. Nikhilam, whole. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mukundaha, Lord Mukunda. Tu, but. Adyapi, even until now. Yat, whose Padarajah, dust of the feet, Shruti by the Vedas, Mrigyam sought after, Eva certainly. Translation: my greatest possible good fortune would be to take any birth, whatever, in this forest of Gokul and have my head bathed by the dust falling from the lotus feet of any of its residents. Their entire life and soul is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Mukunda, the dust of whose lotus feet is still being searched for in the Vedic mantras. Purport: this verse indicates that Lord Brahma desires to take birth even as the smallest blade of grass in Vrindavan, so that the holy residents of the Lord's abode may walk upon his head and bless him with the dust of their feet. Being realistic, Lord Brahma does not aspire to directly achieve the dust of Lord Krishna's feet. Rather, he aspires for the mercy of the Lord's devotees. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Brahma is willing to take birth even as a stone in a paved footpath in the Lord's abode. Since Brahma is the creator of the entire universe, we can just imagine the glorious position of the residents of Vrindavan. The Lord's devotees achieve their exalted position by unalloyed devotion and love. One cannot achieve such spiritual opulence by any puffed up material process of personal improvement. In the book, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada reveals the mind of Brahma as follows, quote, "But if I am not so fortunate as to take birth within the forest of Vrindavan, I beg to be always allowed to take birth outside the immediate area of Vrindavan, so that when the devotees go out, they will walk over me. Even that would be a great fortune for me. I am just aspiring for a birth in which I will be smeared by the dust of the devotees' feet." Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, so we welcome everyone to this class on Srimad Bhagavatam. And in today's shloka we are discussing how Lord Brahma, after he realizes his mistake, is offering a sincere prayer to Lord Krishna and he's saying, Tad Bhuri Bhagyam. Bhuri means in lot of quantity. And Bhuri Bhagyam means in a huge quantity. So what is my Bhuri Bhagyam? My Bhuri Bhagyam is if I can stay somewhere, if I can get some place in Vrindavan, not as a tree, not as a bird, not as a cow, not as a peacock, not as a Vrajavasi, not as a gopi. If I can get some place like a blade of grass, and when I become a blade of grass in Vrindavan, then the devotees who are always running here and there to serve Krishna, to meet Krishna, it may happen that they may step their feet on my head and I may get some dust from their feet. So the translators, they are saying, actually Lord Brahma is being realistic and he realizes it's not so easy to get the direct mercy of Lord Krishna, so I should be realistic and I just want the mercy of his devotees. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur speaks the heart of Brahma and he says, even if I don't get the birth of a living blade of grass, even if I get the form of a dead stone, and on some footpath in Vrindavan, on the side, if I am there as a stone, that is also okay. But devotee should put their lotus feet on my head. And Srila Prabhupada in Krishna book has mentioned third understanding, saying, if you say blade of grass is also not possible and stone is also not possible within Vrindavan, then Lord Brahma is saying, no problem. If you give me blade of grass on the outskirts of Vrindavan, so at least when devotees will go out of Vrindavan and come into Vrindavan, at least that time they will put their lotus feet on my head. Even that is okay. But please give me Bhuri Bhagyam. Please give me some entry into this special place called Vrindavan. So what is so special about this Vrindavan and why is Lord Brahma, who is the most intelligent person in the universe, who has the seva of creating this universe, is saying, I have understood my position and I just want to receive the mercy of your devotees. So in the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned, what are the characteristics of intelligence? Samshayotha viparyaso nischaya smritirevacha swapa iti uchate buddhir lakshanaha vruttitaha pruthak. There are five functions of intelligence. First is samshaya, that doubt. Then it is viparyaso. Viparyaso means misapprehension, wrong understanding. Then nischaya or correct understanding. Then smriti means past memory. And then comes swapa or sleep. So these are five ways in which buddhi or intelligence is manifested. So if you see Lord Brahma's activities, he got samshaya about Krishna. Because his whole body is made up of intelligence. His whole body is not made up of panch mahabhut, bhumi rapo analo vayu kham. His body is not made of that. His body is made up of intelligence. Very intelligent person. So if you see this shloka, then this is what happened with Brahma. First he looked at Krishna and Krishna was surrounded by his friends. And they were having a very nice time and Krishna was eating the remnants of his friends. The whole world eats the remnants of Krishna. And in Vrindavan, Krishna was eating the remnants of his friends. So he got a samshaya. Is he the same Vishnu? We had prayed on the banks of Kshir Sagar and he said, I will appear in the Yadu dynasty, Samshaya. Then Viparyasa means misunderstanding or misapprehension. And he felt, probably he is not, I need to test him. And then comes Nishchaya. Nishchaya means, after you test, then correct understanding. So after Brahma tested Lord Krishna, then he was completely baffled, then he came to the right understanding. No, this is the same Vishnu who did not even give darshan to the devatas. And now he is sitting here with his friends in Vrindavan. So that is Nishchaya. Then comes Smriti. Smriti means, then you remember all the things that you have heard before you came to Samshaya stage. So then Brahma, he remembered, oh, Krishna had told me I'll come in the Yadu dynasty. And Krishna had given me instructions at the beginning. And then I had offered a prayer to him, Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So in the beginning of creation, I offered prayers, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, but I forgot everything. So although he is intelligent and he is the personification of intelligence, he had a doubt about Krishna, he had a wrong understanding about Krishna, then he came to the right understanding of Krishna, and then he remembered who Krishna is. So why is, if he follows the process that is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, then why is Brahma considered to have done wrong? He's just following the process of intelligence. So in the shloka which is previous to this, these are the characteristics of intelligence, and in the shloka previous to this, it is mentioned what is the function of intelligence. So there it is mentioned, the function of intelligence is to understand the objects, dravya. So intelligence is used to understand water properly. Intelligence is used to understand different things that we see. Intelligence has not been told in the Bhagavatam to be used to understand the creator of creation. Intelligence is used, the function of intelligence is to understand the creation. So if somebody uses his intelligence for understanding the creation, and then he understands, what is this? I have a samshaya about this. Then viparyas happens, then nishchaya happens, then smriti happens. Then it is not a problem. The problem of Brahma is, he followed the right process for the wrong person. He should have followed this process for creation, but he followed this process for creator. He had a doubt about the creator, Lord Krishna, and that is where everything went wrong. So, although he used intelligence nicely, but because he misapplied that intelligence, he is said to be in the wrong understanding. In Vrindavan Leela, all the demons who attack Krishna, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur analyzes them and mentions, what does this demon represent? For example, the first person who attacks Krishna is Putana. And what did Putana do? Putana dressed herself as a gopi. She came even with a lotus in her hand. And dressed very beautifully, she said, I want to just see Krishna. And all the gopas and the gopis, they thought that actually she has come to feed our Krishna. And we should allow her. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that actually Putana represents the false guru. Why the false guru? Because the false guru shows himself as a bona fide person. And he says, I will tell you about Krishna. I will teach you about Krishna. I will help you know more about Krishna. But when he speaks, he slowly destroys the faith of people in God. And that is what Putana tried to do. She dressed herself as a Vrajavasi gopi, but she actually came to poison Krishna. So the Krishna consciousness in our heart, the bhakti in our heart, when we sit in front of a false guru, he appears to be teaching about Krishna and talking about Krishna, but the way he speaks, he kills the faith of people in Krishna. So Putana is compared to false guru. And in this way, different demons are compared. Aghasur, Bakasur, Pralambasur, Dhenukasur, Keshi, Vyoma. These were different demons. But the most interesting thing is, there are some devatas also who enter Krishna Leela. Who all enters? Lord Brahma enters Krishna Leela. Lord Shiva enters, not really mentioned in the Bhagavatam in the Vrindavan Leela, although we know the story of Nandagram, where he comes as Nandishwar Mahadev, Asheshwar Mahadev. But in the Bhagavatam, at least Lord Shiva enters later when there is a war between Kashi Raj and Krishna. In the Banasur Krishna war, that time Krishna comes. But at least in Vrindavan, the Bhagavatam does not mention. So in the Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma comes, Indra comes, Varuna comes, and there is Nalakuver and Manigriu. These are the four personalities from heavenly planets who enter Vrindavan Leela. And along with the understanding of all the demons like Putana, Agha, Baka and all these demons, these four also did something to disturb Krishna. So they may not be demons, but they have demoniac mood or they have a demoniac tendency. We have heard so many times from our acharyas that Mathura Vrindavan is definitely a place southwest of Delhi. But Vrindavan is also a state of consciousness. Similarly, demon is also a person and demon is also a state of consciousness where you disturb Krishna. So, our Lord Brahma is the personification of intelligence and he has followed the right process for the wrong person. So, what is wrong in that? In the fourth chapter of the Gita, the fourth chapter is titled Jnana Yoga. So, everything you want to understand about knowledge is there in the fourth chapter. The first few shlokas is how Krishna starts the process of dissemination of knowledge. Evam parampara praptam, imam vivasvate yogam, all those shlokas are there. Then Krishna mentions in the later part how we should understand what is karma, what is vikarma and what is akarma, different categories of karma. So that is also explained. Then Krishna explains how any activity in this world can be seen as an offering to Krishna by using the yajna principle. So, Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavi, Brahmagno, Brahmanahutam, Brahmaivatena Gantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina, that shloka comes. And after that, there are 10 different types of yajna. There is a yajna for brahmacharis, there is a yajna for grihasthas and so on. And towards the end then, Krishna glorifies the concept of knowledge. He compares knowledge to a huge boat that can take you across the material ocean. Krishna compares knowledge to fire that can burn. Jnanagni sarva karmani basmasat kurute Arjuna. Your pap and punya, everything can be destroyed by jnana. So after glorifying jnana, after starting with the process of jnana, and after describing everything about jnana, what are the last 2-3 shlokas of that fourth chapter? See, a good speaker will not only tell you what is the glory of that substance, how to get that substance, how valuable is that substance, how to use that substance, but he'll also tell you how to be careful that you do not destroy that substance. So the last 2-3 shlokas Krishna says, Agyascha ashraddhanascha samshayatma vinashyati. Krishna mentions three types of people. One is agya. Agya means foolish. He does not have any brains. Bevkuf hai wo. The second person he says, ashraddhana means he does not have shraddha. Because the previous shloka Krishna mentions, shraddhavan labhate jnanam. The first qualification to get spiritual knowledge, Krishna says, is Shraddha. And that's why the 9 steps process start with Adav Shraddha Tatha Sadhu Sangha. So, Agya means he does not have knowledge. Ashraddha Dhana means he has knowledge. But he does not have Shraddha on that knowledge. He understands about Krishna Leela. He feels Krishna Leela is sweet. But he compares it to some fictional story. Oh, did it really happen? Actually, did Dwarka exist? Did Vrindavan, whatever we hear, did actually happen? And the third person category he says is Samshayatma. And about Agya and Ashraddha Dhana, Krishna does not mention what happens to them. But Krishna mentions what happens to Samshayatma. He says Samshayatma Vinashyati. So what is Samshayatma? Samshayatma has knowledge and Samshayatma also believes in that knowledge. He understands Krishna Leela. But what is his Samshay? His Samshay is, okay, Krishna was there and Krishna loved the Vrajvasis, but will that same situation can be attained by me also? Can I also receive mercy of Krishna? Can I also love Krishna? Or Krishna's love is only for fixed people that are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. And Krishna says, Agya can be delivered by the Guru because he will get knowledge from the Guru. And then as he gets knowledge, he can go ahead. Ashraddha Dhana, there is a solution for it. If you associate with those who have Shraddha, then you, even if you are Ashraddha Dhana, you can develop Shraddha. So it's Satsanga, that also comes. But Samshayatma, Samshayatma has Satsanga. Samshayatma has knowledge, Samshayatma has books, but he keeps doubting. Is it really applicable to me? Can I also be delivered by chanting Hare Krishna, or was it only at the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And Krishna says, Samshayatma Vinashyati. And then he says in the next line, Nayam loko asti na paro, kutah sukham samshayatmana. He says, this samshayatma is so horrible that a doubting soul has no shelter in this world, and neither he has shelter in that world. So this person is the most wretched, is the most miserable person, because even after having everything, he has samshaya. So Lord Brahma is a very interesting personality, that his whole existence is made of intelligence and he followed the process of intelligence. His only problem is it started with samshaya. And samshaya, when applied to the creation, actually leads to inquiry. Why did the apple fall? So that led to an inquiry, and that led to discovery, or at least naming of the law of gravitation, and then certain good things happened after that. So when you apply samshaya, when you apply doubts to the creation, actually it is good. It leads to further progress. Then you understand where you are wrong. Then you come to nishchaya. Then you understand where you are right. Then you come to smriti. Then you remember the Vedic understanding. And then you go ahead. But Brahma, problem is, he applied samshaya, which is already condemned by Lord Krishna in the Gita. And then he applied the second problem, that he applied that samshaya to the creator. So when you apply the worst thing called samshaya in spirituality to the highest person, Krishna, then you are completely baffled. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, although he is speaking about Aghasur, Bakasur, Putana in the same category, he puts the demoniac tendency of Brahma, he puts the demoniac tendency of Indra, he puts the demoniac tendency of Nalukuvar and Manigriv, and he also puts the demoniac tendency of Varuna. So, Varuna, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, represents the feeling that the bliss of devotional service can be enhanced by indulging in wine and other intoxication. Nalukuvar and Manigriv represent the pride and arrogance that comes from a feeling that I am born in a very high aristocratic family. And because I am born in an aristocratic family, I can be proud and arrogant. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions this kind of tendency leads to illicit activities, indulging in drinking of alcohol, and also results in cruelty to animals, which is what happened to Nalukuvar and Manigriv. And when Narad Muni sees them, what does Narad Muni curse them? If you see that thoughts of Narad Muni is thinking, these people are born in a very rich family of Kuvera, and that's why they are indulging in all this. The solution for them is poverty. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur takes that and says, so what is the solution for devotees if they are subjected to this, that, oh, I am born in a high class Brahman family. They are devotees, but they can be affected by the demoniac quality of Nalukuvar and Manigriv. So he says, the solution that Narad Muni gave is poverty. So does it mean devotees should lead poor lives? No, he says, devotees should live simple living and high thinking. The more we simplify our life, we will be saved from Nalukuvar and Manigriv mentality. What is Indra's problem? Indra's problem is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, the feeling that I am supreme, I am worshipable. This demoniac tendency sometimes comes in devotees also. And Krishna shatters that pride. So in this same shrinkhala, in this same series, what is the demoniac tendency of Lord Brahma? Did Lord Brahma disrespect anybody? No. Did Lord Brahma try to kill the Vrajavasis? No. Did Lord Brahma kidnap Nanda Maharaj and take him to his place in the Yamuna river? No. Then why Lord Brahma, who is the first living entity in this planet, and sometimes Lord Brahma is called Atmaja. Atmaja means he is born from the navel of Lord Vishnu. Sachet is the son of Vishnu. So what is it about Lord Brahma that brings him in the same category of discussion as Putana, Agha, Baka and so on? Actually, he didn't do much. So the crime of Lord Brahma is two. One is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, tendency for karma and jnana. So tendency for karma means, karma is not just doing any action, karma is indulging in fruitive activities. Means, in any activity that you do, you are thinking, what is the profit for me? If I do this, what is the profit for me? For devotees it is, if I do this seva, what is the profit for me? what is the advantage in this profit? So that is karma. And what is jnana? Jnana means philosophical speculation, trying to speculate. So the fault of Brahma is not that he thinks he is supreme. The fault of Brahma is not that he feels he is worshipable. The fault of Brahma is he never disrespected any sadhu. The fault of Brahma is he did not kidnap Nanda Maharaj for a small timing change in Dwadashi. The fault of Brahma is he feels that he can doubt Krishna. He feels his wealth of intelligence can be used to doubt and speculate. I think he's Vishnu. I think he's not Vishnu. Let me test him. I have so much intelligence that I think I can test him. And for devotees, how does this apply? We as devotees may not doubt Krishna. And we as devotees may not also doubt Prabhupada. But we may fall prey to doubting devotees around us. So when we see devotees doing something, we may speculate in our own minds, I know why he is doing like this. So all that speculation that happens with regards to devotees, I know the reason why he is doing this. If we continue speculating about what is there in the hearts of devotees, it's very dangerous. It's very risky to speculate or come to conclusions, pass judgments about devotees. So we should learn from Lord Brahma and not fall prey to that. And the second thing is trying to engage in fruitive activities, always trying to gauge what is the profit in this for me. So if we stay away from these two, then we stay away from the two faults of Lord Brahma. And this Lord Brahma is today in this shloka saying, please give me some place in Vrindavan. So the good thing about Lord Brahma is he did that mistake. But now he has come to Nishchaya and he has come to Smriti and he is saying, now please I want to rectify, please give me some place in Vrindavan. And how does he glorify Vrindavan in the next shloka? This is shloka number 35 of the 14th chapter of 10th canto. Very beautiful shloka. My mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you can be found anywhere. So now he understood the essence of everything. So he did his mistake. He realized his mistake and now he's saying, the greatest reward is you. The greatest reward does not come from you. The whole world is trying to get something from Krishna. And the devotees are praying to Krishna, we don't want something from you, we want you. In Dhruv Maharaj's prayers, he calls Lord Vishnu as Kalpataru, Surataru. Surataru, Lord Prahlad Maharaj calls. And he calls Kalpataru. So he says, you are the personification of benediction. Everyone who is a benediction giver gets the ability to give benedictions, to give ashirvad from you. So if I have you, the original source of all benedictions, what other benediction that I want? But those who don't have the source of benedictions, they keep wanting benedictions. Example, if your home is at Gangotri, Gangotri is the source of Ganga, will you ever fall short of water? But yes, if your home is at Kanpur, if your home is at Varanasi, if your home is at... Then sometimes, you know, the Ganga flows in a different path. So 100 years back, the Ganga was flowing differently. So you build a home next to Ganga and the Ganga shifts its course. Then your home, accidentally, incidentally, may go away from the Ganga and then you may need water. But if you're at the source of Ganga, why do you need water? It's there always, at all times, at the source of Ganga. So Dhruv Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Brahma is saying, my mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you can be found anywhere. You are the embodiment of all benedictions which you bestow upon these residents of the cowherd community of Vrindavan. So the cowherd community of Vrindavan does not want anything from Krishna. And because they don't want anything from Krishna, they get Krishna. And because they get Krishna, they get whatever he wants to give to them. And we keep asking, not Krishna, we keep asking for things from Krishna. And Krishna says, why are you wanting this? Because this is not going to solve your problems. This is not going to give you shelter. And now this is very, very sweet about Lord Brahma's realization. Please hear very attentively. You have already arranged to give yourself to Putana and her family members in exchange for her disguising herself as a devotee. So in the Sanskrit it mentioned, Sad Veshad Eva Putanapi Sakula Tvam Eva Devapita. Sad Veshad. What did Putana do? What is the good quality about Putana? We'll not talk about the bad qualities of Putana. The bad qualities is she wanted to poison Krishna. And how did she want to poison? She wanted to poison by feeding him milk. At what age? At such a small age where the baby is dependent on the milk of the mother. So to kill somebody is wrong, but to kill somebody by the process of giving life to that person is very wrong. You know, somebody is gasping for breath and you say, "Arey, mere paas oxygen cylinder hai." And you say, and you have mixed poison in that oxygen cylinder. And people come to know, see, if you want to kill, you kill by other means. But don't say that you are giving him oxygen and through that oxygen you gave poison to him. So what did Putana do? Putana said, "I will feed him milk. The baby is dependent on milk." And through the act of giving him milk, she wanted to feed him poison. Such a treacherous and such an evil thought. Right? The sons of the Pandavas, five Pandavas, Draupadi's sons, they were killed by Ashwatthama when they were sleeping. Ashwatthama saw a crow at night eating the small birds in a nest. And that is his learning from nature. The Avadhuta Brahmani in 11th canto also saw the nature. He saw honeybee, he saw earth, he saw water, and he came to different, he learned tolerance from earth. So he is also learning from nature. What did Ashwatthama learn from nature? Ashwatthama learned the art of killing babies at night when the mother and father are not there from nature. So, one very interesting thing about that, you know, 24 gurus, it's not that the Avadhut Brahman learned from them. Because if learning from earth was possible, then all of us would have learned long back. He was guided by his Viveka Buddhi. And he was guided by the instructions of his guru. And through the spectacles of his guru's instructions, he looked at the earth and he learned tolerance from the earth. Through the lens of the instructions of his guru, he looked at water and he understood the purity of water. But Ashwatthama did not have any such satsanga. So when Ashwatthama looks at nature, all he can see is how to kill small babies. And Ashwatthama killed the five sleeping sons of the Pandavas from Draupadi. And the next day, he went and told Duryodhan. And who is Duryodhan? Duryodhan is that person, whole life he has been trying to kill the Pandavas. But it's very interesting. When Ashwatthama went and told Duryodhan that I have killed the five sons of Pandavas, how did you kill? Because they did not participate in the war. He said, "No, I went at night time. They were sleeping and I killed them at sleep." Duryodhan said, "How can you do this?" So somebody as evil as Duryodhan is also saying, how can you kill sleeping sons? Chote bachcho ko sote huye kaise maar sakte hain? It hurt Duryodhan. So somebody as evil as Duryodhan is also hurt. What is Putana doing? Putana is not even killing the sleeping sons. Putana is trying to kill a baby that is eager for milk, is dependent on milk. Arre, I want to take some milk. And that baby, Putana is... So, the crime of Putana is the lowest. But what is the good quality? The good quality is Sad Veshad Api Putana. She dressed herself as a Gopika. And Lord Brahma is saying, just because Putana imitated a Gopi and tried to feed you milk, at least pretended to feed you milk, what happened? Sad Veshad Putana Api Sakula. Sakula matlab uske pure kul ko leke. Means Aghasura and Bakasura, there are two brothers of Putana. You have arranged to give yourself to Putana and her whole family because they imitated the Vrajavasis in a small way. So now I am thinking, if Putana got that, what will Yatu Dhani Apisa Swargam Avap Jananim Gatim Krishna Bhuktas Tanakshira Kim U Gavo Na Matara? Shukdev Goswami, when he is talking to Parikshit Maharaj and he speaks the Putana story, after the end of the story, Shukdev Goswami also goes into a trance. And Shukdev Goswami is saying, this Yatudhani, this witch who came to kill, Avapa Jananim Gatim, she got the position of a mother. And he says, but she fed about with envy and says, Krishna Bhuktas Tanakshira, and those mothers, the elderly gopis of Vrindavan and the cows of Vrindavan who fed milk with love to Krishna, I am thinking, what will they get? So Brahma is also thinking, you have already arranged to give yourself to Putana and her family members in exchange for her disguising herself as a devotee. So what is left for you to give these devotees of Vrindavan, whose homes, wealth, friends, relations, bodies, children and lives and hearts are all dedicated only to you? So this is the right use of intelligence, that when it comes to understanding devotees, intelligence is not a good tool. And Brahma has finally, the good result of this whole analysis is that he has come to understand, actually I may not even be qualified to deserve a place in Vrindavan. At least on the outskirts of Vrindavan, if I can get a place, it will be very nice. Tomorrow we are going to celebrate the appearance of Lord Krishna. So this is always a discussion. Did Krishna appear to Vasudeva and Devaki, or did Krishna appear to Nanda and Yashoda, as the Vrajavasis say? So the first three chapters describe how Krishna appeared to Nanda, Vasudeva and Devaki. And when Krishna appeared to Vasudeva and Devaki, he appeared in Chaturbhuj form, four-handed form. He had a very beautiful helmet. He had a Vaidurya gem. He had Sri Vatsa mark. He had very beautiful, nicely developed curly hair. And he spoke to Vasudeva and Devaki. And he said, actually, many, many lifetimes before, you were Prishni and Sutapa. And both of you, you did tapasya for 12,000 celestial years. And he says, both of you did intense tapasya for such a long time. What did you do? You tolerated wind. You tolerated the scorching sun. You were surrounded by fire. You were in rain. And both of you, you just drank water and ate dried leaves that had already naturally fallen on the ground. There was nothing there. So in this way, 12,000 demigod years you did tapasya. And because you pleased me with that kind of a attitude, I came in front of you and then asked you, what do you want? And then you mentioned, both of us wish that we have a son like you. And because there is nobody else like me, then I decided that I should appear. So Sutapa and Prishni then had relations, and then Lord Vishnu appeared from them, and his name was Prishni Garbha. Then Lord Krishna there in that prison is telling, next time you were born as Kashyapa Rishi and Aditi Mata, and that time also I appeared as Vamandev from you, and now this time I have appeared as Vasudev from you, Vasudev and Devaki. And why did I appear in this four-handed form? I could have just come to the two-handed small baby, dependent baby form. I appeared because, just to help you understand, I am the same Vishnu. If I appear in that two-handed baby form, you will not recognize me and you will not remember that I am Vishnu. And you will think, oh, you mentioned that you will be born as our baby, but then did you, were you born as our baby? So just to assure you, you did tapasya, you desired me, I said yes, and this is a fulfillment of my promise to you. Ye yatha mam prapadyante. So see, I have appeared to you. Now the most interesting thing is, if Krishna is born to Vasudev and Devaki, and that's why he is called Vasudev, why does Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Shikshashtak mention a very specific word? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, so he cannot speak anything wrong. And Krishna, not just Krishna, but Krishna in the mood of Radharani, so Radharani is very merciful also. So knowledge comes from Krishna, but Kripa Shakti comes from Srimati Radharani. So now Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to speak some truth, and that truth is out of a mood of mercy. So what is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking? Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions, Ai Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram. What is the meaning of the word Tanuja? He could have said Nanda Nandan. He could have said Nanda Putra. Sometimes Ai Nanda Sunu. Nanda Sunu is also son of Krishna. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses a very specific word. Tanu means body and Ja means Janama. So Nanda Nandan means the child of Nanda Maharaj who gives pleasure to Nanda Maharaj. Yashoda Dulal means the child of Yashoda Rani who is very dear to Yashoda. But what does the word Nanda Tanuja mean? Nanda Tanuja literally means that person who was born from the body of Nanda Maharaj, and it is very significant why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses of all the words Nanda Tanuja. So if you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, then in the 8th chapter, so the first 3 chapters are how Krishna appeared, descent of Krishna, prayers by demigods, and 3rd chapter is birth of Krishna. There this is not mentioned. In the 8th chapter, where the pastimes of Yashoda and Krishna are mentioned, when it is mentioned that Yashoda was so fortunate and she had such loving dealings with Krishna, and Krishna one time showed the universal form to Krishna, and when Yashoda got bewildered by that, then Krishna said, oh, if she recognizes that I am the Supreme Lord, all the fun of my life has gone, and how she will feed me milk. And then Krishna put his mother into Yoga Maya, and again she felt, he is my son and I am his mother. So when that whole story is told, the lesson that comes out is, Krishna wants his mother to be in illusion. And all of us are trying to be out of illusion. So I was reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit Madhya Leela chapter number 21. And this chapter is Sanatan Shiksha, and this chapter is titled The Opulence and Sweetness of Lord Krishna. So for Vrindavan, for Janmashtami, I was just going through that chapter. And in one of the purports, there is a very beautiful line by Srila Prabhupada. He says, the activities of Yoga Maya are very prominent in the topmost Vaikuntha planet called Golok Vrindavan and in the material world, but they are absent in the middle Vaikuntha planets. So very interesting, Yoga Maya is very active in the topmost spiritual planet Golok Vrindavan, and she is also very active in the material world, the downmost part, but in the Vaikuntha planets where Lakshmi Narayan stay, where Lakshmi Narasimha stay, where Lakshmi Vaman stay, there is no activities of Yoga Maya. You know why? What does that mean? It means there everyone knows he is the Supreme Lord. In the material world, nobody knows he is the Supreme Lord. And the topmost planet, Vrindavan, also nobody knows. Very beautifully put, poetically put by Srila Prabhupada. So, when Parikshit hears that Krishna does not want Yashoda to be in knowledge, and Krishna wants all of us to be in knowledge, so then Parikshit says, please tell me, Nandaha kim akarod Brahman, Shreya eva Mahodayam. In his life, Nanda Maharaj's life and Yashoda Maharaj's life, such great bhagya, tad eva bhuri bhagyam, Brahmaji is saying. Oh, such great fortune in the life of the Vrajvasis. Parikshit also says, Nandaha kim akarod Brahman, Shreya eva Mahodayam. He says, Yashoda cha mahabhaga. And Yashoda is also mahabhagyavan. Yashoda cha mahabhaga. Papau yasya stanam hari. Why is Yashoda Mai so bhagyavan? Because papau yasya stanam hari, Lord Supreme, Lord Hari drank milk from her breast. What is it about Nanda and what is about Yashoda that Krishna is attracted to Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj like this? And in answer to that, Shukdev Goswami mentions the past life of Nanda and Yashoda. So just like Vasudev and Devaki's past life was explained by Lord Krishna himself, Lord Brahma mentions about the past life of Nanda and Yashoda, and he says, actually, they are Drona and Dhara. And Drona and Dhara had a desire to have the Supreme Lord as their son. And they did tapasya. And Lord Brahma became happy with them and appeared in front of them. And what did they ask from Lord Brahma? There is only one shloka that is mentioned. The detailed austerities of Vasudev and Devaki, Prishni and Sutapar mentioned. And what did they ask for is mentioned. But here only one shloka is mentioned. And that shloka mentions, when Lord Brahma appeared in front of Drona and Dhara said, can we have the Supreme Lord as our child so that he can descend into this world and spread the process of Bhakti Yoga, and by his spreading the process of Bhakti Yoga, so many people in the material world who are being tormented by Trividha Tap, just by practicing Bhakti to my child, they can get liberated from all tap and they can go back to the spiritual world. So the desire of Vasudev and Devaki had a small tinge that we want Krishna as our child so that we can have that affectionate relationship. And what did Drona and Dhara have? What did Yashoda and Nanda have? We also want Krishna as a child, but why do we want Krishna as a child? Not for our pleasure. We want Krishna as our child so that he can come and he can establish the process of bhakti yoga, and through that process of bhakti yoga, people can enjoy real peace, real happiness, and can escape the trividha tap. So because Nanda and Yashoda did not have a selfish desire, and Nanda and Yashoda had a feeling of caring and concern for the whole world. And how do they care and concern for the whole world? Not by thinking of any material means. They think there is only one solution. The one solution is Shrinvanti gayanti grinanti abhikshashah smaranti nandanti tavehitam jana taeva pashyanti achirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramam padambujam. Kunti Devi is saying Shrinvanti gayanti grinanti abhikshashah. So if you see that series of shloka in the first canto, 8th chapter, I think shloka number 26 onwards, so it says, some people think this is the reason why Krishna came. Some people think this is the reason why Krishna came. Some people think this is the reason why Krishna came. And she gives many reasons. Did Krishna appear for removing the burden of earth? Possible. Did Krishna appear for glorification of Yadu? Because Yadu was a great king and he appeared in the Yadav dynasty. Yes. Did Krishna appear to glorify the Yadu Vansh? Yes. Did Krishna appear because Vasudev and Devaki prayed for them? Yes. These are all the reasons. But what is the end result? The end that Kunti Devi is saying, to re-establish the process of Shrinvanti Gayanti Ghrinanti. Shravan Kirtan process Krishna wanted to establish in this world, and that's why he appeared. And that's why Kunti Devi and Yashoda are in that same mood, that Krishna appears in this world for starting the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam. And because Krishna appears in this world to start the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam, actually that is the reason why Krishna appeared to Vasudeva and Devaki in the Chaturbhuj form. But Krishna also simultaneously was born in Nanda Gokul to Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj in a Dvibhuj form. So we usually hear that to Nanda and Yashoda only one girl was born. But actually to Nanda and Yashoda, twins were born. There was Shyam Sundar, Nanda Nandan Krishna, and that Yogamaya. And then when Vasudev carried Vasudev to Nanda Gokul, the Vasudev aspect, that child merged into Nanda Nandan Krishna and became one child. And then Vasudev carried the baby from Mahavan back to Mathura. So this is that special quality of Vrajavasis, that right from calling Krishna, they don't want anything for themselves, and they are always praying, let Krishna come to establish the process of Shravanam Kirtanam. And Srila Jiva Goswami in the Gopal Champu, when he is describing the appearance of Lord Krishna, he says, he speaks about certain surprising things that happened in Nanda Gokul. Shukdev Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavatam describes the situation that was there in Mathura. So Vasudev birth is described in Bhagavatam, but in Gopal Champu, Nanda Nandan Krishna's birth is described. So he mentions, in the Satya Yuga, the process for understanding God is meditation. In the Treta Yuga, the process for understanding God is to do big sacrifices, makhai. In Dwapar Yuga, the process for understanding God is to do deity worship. And in the Kali Yuga, the process to understand God is Harinam Sankirtan. And he says, all the four processes appeared when Nanda Nandan Krishna was being born. So it starts from Shravanam Kirtanam, right from his birth. Then he says, jasmine flower, chameli, what we call, usually blooms in spring. And spring season is Vasanta Ritu. So Vasanta Ritu is, you know, like February or that season. But when is Krishna Janma happening? Krishna Janma is happening in Bhadrapad. So still, jasmine flowers, which usually bloom in spring, they started blooming. Mango appears in summer season. But it also appeared when Krishna was taking birth in Bhadrapad month. Water becomes clear in Sharad Ritu. After the entire monsoon comes to an end, then Salilasya Yatha Sharad. A pure devotee's heart is compared to water that flows in the Sharad Ritu. So water becomes clean in Sharad Ritu, but in Bhadrapad month, in Varsha Ritu, it is not Sharad Ritu, but in Varsha Ritu also the water became very clean. The harvest happens in winter time, but that harvest also appeared in Bhadrapad month. The Kunda flowers appear in the cold season, Shishir Ritu, but they also appeared in Vrindavan. The planets arrange themselves as per the astrological scriptures to create a very auspicious atmosphere. And usually the Lord appears only by the benediction of one's guru. But here, although there was no guru, the Lord appeared. And although there are so many surprises, how can this happen? Jiva Goswami ends this description by saying, in this way, the ocean of surprises was born. So if Krishna is called the ocean of surprises, then it is no surprise that so many surprises happened. And if you look at Krishna, then in his whole life, this is what he actually does. He surprises us. I just, you know, quickly some points that come to my mind. How Krishna is very surprising. Every personality in any temple, they always stand straight. Even to the extent, Lakshmi Narayan stands straight. Vitthal Rukmini stands straight. Sita Ram stands straight. Durga Devi, she's standing or she's sitting on a lion straight. There is only one person who does not stand straight. That is Krishna. Right? And usually, even in Ram Leela, even in Narasimha Leela, the goddess of fortune is inclined, or the goddess of fortune is always trying to please the Lord. And when Lord Narasimha appeared and Lakshmi Devi said, I didn't see my Lord in any angry form like this before, so I am afraid to go near him. And in Krishna Leela, what happens? Actually, Radha Rani becomes angry on Krishna. So many times in Vrindavan Leela, it is Radha Rani who becomes angry, and instead of Sita trying to please Ram, that's what she has to do when she comes back from Ravan's kingdom after the war, then she has to say, I am pure. But Ram says, we'll have to test it. So in all other pastimes, the goddess of fortune has to please the Supreme Lord. In Krishna Leela, the ocean of surprises is that Krishna is always trying to please Srimati Radharani. So he stands in a surprising form. He tries to please in a surprising form. All the personalities, be it Lord Shiva, be it Durga, be it Ganesh, be it Lord Ramchandra, be it Lord Vishnu, they always carry some weapon. And what does Lord Krishna carry? Lord Krishna carries a flute. And the most interesting thing is, none of these personalities ever say that yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanasya paritranaya sadhunam vinashayacha dushkitam. So, paritranaya sadhunam and vinashayacha dushkitam and dharma sansthapana, who says? Ram never says. Shiva never says. So, to do dharma sthapana, Krishna says, that is my job. But how does he appear in this world? He appears with a flute. So, how are you going to do dharma sthapana with a flute? He says, I'll do it in my way. You don't have to tell me. All the other personalities, they fight a war. So, Lord Ramchandra fought. Lord Vitthal, Dwarkadhish, he fought. But Nandanandan Krishna, he did not fight. He always, you know, when the demons attacked, then he self-protected. So, self-protection is not that you are fighting. Self-protection is when somebody comes and attacks you, you have to protect yourself and you have to protect your devotees. So, all the fights they took in Vrindavan were never an aggression by Krishna. They were only for self-protection. So, in that sense, we can say Krishna. And even in Kurukshetra war, if you see, you know, Krishna, he said, I'm not going to fight. So, Krishna is a very surprising person. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who is also a Vrajavasi, you know, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, one time, they were building a temple for Radha Krishna. And the workers who were engaged in construction, they had a habit to smoke. So, they would do some construction, then they would go away, then smoke. But that smoking, the place to get BDs at that time was a distance far away. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was not happy with the pace at which the temple construction was going on. So he told some of his disciples, why don't you arrange for BDs here itself so that they don't travel all the way to some far away distance and I want this temple to come up fast. So this is surprising. Usually nobody does that. They say, no, unko udhar peene do, yahan pe nahi karna hai sab. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati changed that. In Srila Prabhupada's own life, he did many surprising things. He allowed females who were sincere to stay in an ashram, which is very surprising. Before Prabhupada, no sannyasi, even to the extent of a godbrother of Srila Prabhupada, ever conducted marriage sacrifices. Because a sannyasi has already given up grihastha ashram long back, what does he have to do with marriage? One time, one senior sannyasi, he came to our temple and we requested him to give a VTA class. So I told Maharaj, can you please give a VTA class? So he asked me, what topic do you want me to speak on? So I said, our VTA devotees, they have not yet selected their ashram. So can you please speak on how to be a responsible devotee, either in the Brahmacharya ashram or in the Grihastha ashram? And when I requested a sannyasi, he made a face as if I spoke something really very wrong. I said, what do I have to do with that? So then I immediately begged forgiveness. I said, Maharaj, whatever you want to speak, you speak. So he said, you know, Grihastha life, what do I have to do with it? I am a sannyasi. So Prabhupada's godmother, so when they heard that Prabhupada was doing marriage ceremonies in the West, Mukunda Maharaj and Janaki Mataji, Prabhupada conducted marriage sacrifice. If you see Gita 18.5, then Yagya Dana Tapaha Karma Na Tyajya Miti Chapare. Krishna says, Yagya Dana and Tapa should not be given up. Pavanani Manishina. In the purport to that shloka, what is the example that Prabhupada uses for Yagya? The example that Prabhupada uses for Yagya is Vivaha Yagya. And he says, if we see in the Western world that the young boys and the young girls are staying together, and that is not right. So if we encourage them to do Vivaha Yagya, is it wrong? But some of our godbrothers feel that we are wrong. So Prabhupada did something which is very surprising, but Prabhupada was doing it in a mood to please Radha Krishna. So Krishna is very surprising, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati is very surprising, Srila Prabhupada is very surprising, and I just remember something from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj's life. In one Vyas Puja, Madhavanand Prabhu, he was glorifying His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and he was saying, Maharaj, you are very surprising. So whenever I come to the airport to pick you up when you come, then I saw that you always came by the stairs. And one particular time when you were coming, I thought now today also you will come by the stairs. And I was standing near the stairs, only on that one particular occasion you came by the escalator. So I don't know what to expect from you. And that same Vyas Puja or some another Vyas Puja, Gaurang Prabhu gave an offering. Gaurang Prabhu said, both of us, myself and His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, we were traveling somewhere and we went to the airport. And Maharaj was traveling by the staircase, which Madhavanand Prabhu said he usually does. But for Madhavanand Prabhu, he came by the escalator that day. So Maharaj was traveling by the stairs. And Gaurang Prabhu said, I wanted to reach faster, so I did not take the stairs, I went by the escalator. And I went faster and then I met him at the top. And I said, Maharaj, I reached before you. And then Maharaj gave a very beautiful line. He said, see, you are a follower of, you know, your own strengths. So you are not dependent on Krishna. He said, I am dependent on Krishna. I am dependent on Radhani. So I don't use something else. I just do whatever is possible. So in this way, you know, we see how Krishna is unpredictable or is an ocean of surprises. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati is also a surprising Acharya. Srila Prabhupada is surprising. And in this way, we understand that actually sincere devotees, sometimes, you know, are very surprising and we may not understand why they do certain things. So the more somebody is advanced, the more we should understand that they are not followers of Ram. They are not followers of Vishnu. They are not followers of Narasimha. They are followers of Krishna. And by Krishna's blessings, Krishna's mood is very surprising. Yashoda's mood is very surprising. Nanda Maharaj's mood is very surprising. And that is the whole atmosphere of Vrindavan. And in this ocean of surprises, and the mood of Vrindavan, which is also full of surprises, a very intellectual person like Brahma got completely bewildered. So he is requesting all of us in his sampradaya. We are all part of Brahma, Madhava, Gaudiya sampradaya. So Brahmaji is telling us, you use your intelligence to understand the creation, but do not use your intelligence to understand the creator. To understand the creator, use the simple process of Shravanam and Kirtanam. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers are telling us, wherever there is a facility to hear about Krishna, please give your ears to hearing about Krishna. And wherever there is a facility to speak about Krishna or wherever there is kirtan happening, engage in that kirtan. And this will be a very good way to celebrate Janmashtami. So tomorrow we are very fortunate. At morning 7 o'clock, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj is speaking a live class which will be relayed. After that, Dwarkadish Prabhu and Braj Bihari Prabhu are speaking Bhagavatam Katha. And day after that is Vyas Puja of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So much hearing. And if we hear properly and we participate in Kirtan properly, there could be a small little Janmashtami in our heart also. And by allowing Lord Krishna to take birth in our heart, just like Nanda and Yashoda said, please appear in this world so that you can establish the bhakti process. And by following the bhakti process, people who are distressed in this world can actually get free from all distress and can go back home, back to Godhead. We can also do our small bit of being in the line of Brajavasis. So thank you very much. I am grateful to all of you for giving me an opportunity to speak something about Lord Krishna. Jai Srimad Bhagavat ki jai. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol.
Thank you.